I hope you received something from praise and worship this morning. If you really looked up at any given time, you would have seen that the guitar players were out in the spirit, that the drummer wasn't able to play his drum on the last video. The reason why God had me do this praise and worship this morning is because his people are really growing weary, and you just need to be refilled, refreshed. You need to be uplifted, and this is what God was trying to do to you this morning. I hope and I pray that you hold on and don't give up, because really the best is ahead of us, but the enemy's trying to make you believe that there's nothing coming. So please just hold on and allow God to do a perfect work within you. And Father, I just truly do thank you for the opportunity to sit in your presence, to be fed fresh manna from heaven. And Father, those who came in this morning heavy laden, I'm asking God that you lift their burdens this morning, that you give them peace and rest. And Father, we know that you are God. We know that you are in control. And we just thank you. We thank you for every test and every trial. And we give you all the honor and glory in your name of your precious Son, Jesus. Amen. This morning I'm going to talk about forever faithful. If we're not faithful to God, God cannot be faithful to us. God is looking for children of God that are always faithful, forever faithful to him, faithful even unto death. And we learned about death Wednesday night, right? About persecution. Psalm 101 verse 6 says, "My eyes shall be on the faithful of the land." My eyes shall be on the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. Who walks in a perfect way, he shall serve me. Now these faithful have always been on the earth. Even when the world was at its worst, Noah found grace or favor in the eyes of the Lord. Even when the situations in your life are the worst, you can find favor in the eyes of the Lord if you've been faithful to him. He will be faithful to you. Genesis 6:6-8 says, "And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." He was going to destroy the whole earth, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And we know what God did with Noah. He kept him and his family safe and placed them on the ark. And when the waters receded, he used Noah and his family to replenish the earth. God is searching for Semper Fi saints. These are forever faithful saints. The kind of people God is looking for today are Semper Fi saints. Godly people who are always faithful to him and to his cause. Godly people who are always faithful to him and to his cause. Men and women of uncommon valor, even unto death. 2,000 years ago, the challenge was issued to the faithful in Smyrna. In Revelations 2:10, God says, "Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." The kingdom of Christ has been built on the martyrdom of Semper Fi saints. God is trying to build his kingdom today on godly people who will forsake everything in the world and to serve him with all of their hearts. He cannot use those who are trying to live one foot in the church and one foot in the world. It just doesn't work that way. And it won't happen that way either. The world tells us that when Jesus comes again, he will be looking for faith. I'm sorry, the word tells us that when Jesus comes again, he will be looking for faith on the earth. Luke 18:8 says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Isn't our faith being tested right now? Aren't we being tried to the very core of our being right now? We have to keep our faith. We have to keep it alive. The kingdom of God needs Christians who are always faithful to their Christian mates, to their Savior, Jesus, and to his church, the blood-bought body of Christ. It's really hard for me to minister under the anointing right now. It's really heavy. I said the kingdom of God needs Christians who are always faithful to their Christian mates, to their Savior, Jesus, and to his church, the blood-bought body of Christ. We all know that this is a generation of unfaithfulness in the church, in marriages, and in any area of society. We know that society has gone downhill very fast, and God is trying to intervene, and he needs his church to work through. Unfaithfulness is a serious problem in any generation. The Bible tells us in 1 Chronicles 10:13. So Saul died for his unfaithfulness which he had committed against the Lord. Why did Saul die? Because of his unfaithfulness which he had committed against the Lord. Because he did not keep the word of the Lord, and also because he consulted a medium for guidance. You should never go to a fortune teller. First of all, he did not keep the word of God, and we need to keep the word of God. And the second thing he did, he went to a medium. 2 Timothy 2:13, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Even if we are faithless to God, God is faithful to us. What he has spoken over us, he is going to accomplish. However, our unfaithfulness does not negate God's faithfulness. Speaking about the children of Israel, Paul said in Romans 3:3, for what if some did not believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? Read that again. For what if some did not believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? No, it won't. Whether you believe in God or not, God is still God. And God can still accomplish all that he has set out to accomplish. Again and again, the scripture refers to God as being faithful. Notice how Moses chose to describe God after he gave the Ten Commandments to Israel. Deuteronomy 7:9. Therefore, know that the Lord your God, he is God. The faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. God is a faithful God, and he keeps his covenant. God is looking for a body of Christ who will be just as faithful to him as he is to them. He is looking for a group of people who will become faithful no matter what goes on around about you, that he can trust you and send you forth to accomplish the great and mighty works that needs to be accomplished in this given hour. You need to check your life. Are you faithful with everything that God has placed in your hands to do? Are you faithful to your church, to your friends? Are you to your children? Are you faithful? Are you a faithful person? God can't use you if you're not faithful. He just can't. And God weeps over his children because there's so much that he has already planned to do through you. But there's so many things that you do to negate the plans that he has spoken over your life. The Song of Moses includes this stanza in Deuteronomy 32:4. He is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are justice. A God of truth and without injustice, righteous and upright is he. That's God. This should describe you and I. This should be how God, when he looks at it, this is what he should see. This is what you should see whenever you look to your mate, to your friends, to your pastor. This is what you should see. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are justice, a God of truth and without injustice. Righteous and upright is he. David's song of praise states, to the faithful you show yourself faithful. David's speaking about God. To the faithful you show yourself faithful. And 2 Samuel 22:26 says, with the merciful you will show yourself merciful. With a blameless man you will show yourself blameless. With the pure you will show yourself pure, and with the devious you will show yourself shrewd. Verse 28 says, you will save the humble people, but your eyes are on the haughty, that you may bring them down. God is under no obligation to show himself faithful to those who are faithless. You can't one day be for God and the next day working for the devil. You can't do that. Your walk has to be every day of your life from now until you reach heaven to be faithful to God and walk with God 100%. The reason why the body of Christ can't get the world to come into the church is because they already have what you have, which is absolutely nothing. The church is acting just like the world, and we have not been faithful to God in his word, and the world doesn't need what we have. The world wants something that will change them. They want to see you being happy and exuberant. They want to see you talking about God, believing in God, and acting like God. Are you listening here this morning? I wish with all my heart and soul and spirit that the body of Christ would become children of God. That they would truly submit themselves to God and become faithful to him no matter what comes down the road. You know, when you're a true child of God, the enemy attacks you over and over and over again. Many times you'll sit in a room by yourself and cry, but you never give up. You never yield to what the devil was trying to make you yield to. You always stay firm and you stay steadfast, knowing that God is well able to keep you no matter what is going on in your life. Are you listening here? But I want us to be a people of strength. I want us to be a people of dignity and courage. I want us to be a people that when they look at us, they'll say, I want what you have. I want that Jesus that's in you. Because the world is searching. Just like you were searching before you became born again. The world is searching, and they don't know what they're searching for. And what they're searching for is that Jesus that will fill that void within. And when the church really grows up and becomes what they should be, you're going to see a world change. But God has also said that the church, he's left the church, and he's going into the world, and he is going to clean the world up, and then he's going to use them to minister the gospel. And it's the younger generation that he's using right now. If you really watch what's going on, he's cleaning the younger generation up, and I mean 30s, 40s, 30s, 20s, you know, younger. He's using them. He's cleaning them up, and he's bringing them forth, and he's using them to bring the gospel to the streets, to the down and outers. Are you listening here, guys? Please be faithful to God. Please determine in your heart this morning that you're going to turn your heart over to him 100%. You're going to be faithful to him no matter what comes your way. Perhaps the greatest exaltation of God's faithfulness is found in Jeremiah's book of Lamentations. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. It says, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. Everybody in this room can, if you're honest with yourself, you can say, if it wouldn't be for God, I wouldn't be sitting here today. God and his mercies. God and his faithfulness to us. You know, he forgives and he forgives and he forgives and he forgives. Our faith is based on God's faithfulness in Hebrews 11:11. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. By faith, if you read Hebrews, it's by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. Everything that happened in these people's life was by faith. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen 10 minutes from now. But I do know that God has me in his arms. I do know that he's promised that he would never leave me nor forsake me. And so no matter what happens, I know I'm going to be all right. Even if I'm shot dead, I'm still all right. Because then I'm going to be in the arms of the Father. Amen. So no matter what comes our way, if we are faithful to God, he's going to be faithful to us. What is faithfulness? The Hebrew word for faithful in Psalm 10:16 is amen, A-M-A-N, and it means to build up or support, to be firm or faithful, steadfast, sure, and trusty. We sit on a chair. You're sitting here in these chairs this morning because you believe it will bear your weight, right? Some prisoners are called trustees because they have proven themselves to be trustworthy. You're in prisons. In Revelation 2:10, the Greek word for faithful is P-I-S-T-O-S, and it means trustworthy, believing, and true. Now, M.R. Vincent says, be thou is literally translated, become thou. With reference to trials, faithfulness is not only to be existent, but becoming. With reference to trials, faithfulness is not only to be existent, but becoming. Someone who is faithful is reliable, dependable, trustworthy, steadfast, stable, unfailing, loyal, marble, constant, and responsible. That's what a faithful person is. Reliable, dependable, trustworthy, steadfast, stable, unfailing, loyal, marble, constant, and responsible. Now, does that describe you? Think about that. Does that describe me? If you're married, can my husband look at me and see all these attributes in me? Or can my wife look at me and see all these attributes in me? You know, with the church here, when I got the new staff members, they weren't reliable, dependable, trustworthy, steadfast, stable. They weren't any of that. And I said, God, you're going to have to help me here. And now I have a staff that is reliable, dependable, trustworthy, steadfast. You're everything that God wants you to be. I can trust you. I can give you a job and walk away knowing that you're going to get it done, and you have become faithful to me. I've got to get this done because this is what the pastors ask us to do. Are you understanding this? When you go on the streets, the people, you know, they're expecting you on Saturdays, and you should be steadfast with them. They should know that, okay, we can go to the streets today, and we're going to get ministered to, and you know, we're going to bring friends with us because we want them to receive what we received. But if you don't show up, then they're going to become disheartened, and they're not going to rely on you anymore. And they just might lose everything you've spoken into their life. Are we getting this morning? God said, I need my people to become faithful to me, no matter what. Go to Yellowstone, and what do you see? Oh, faithful, it is like clockwork, right? Speaking of clocks, go to London, and what do you see? Big Ben. Go to the train station, and the train comes in when? Right on time. The sun comes up every morning and sets every night. The moon is called the faithful witness in the sky in Psalms 89:37. This is what God means by faithful. People can count on you. You're going to be there for them. However, someone who is unfaithful is unreliable, undependable, untrustworthy, shaky, unstable, disloyal, and irresponsible. A lot of you know people like that, don't you? Don't we? Are you one of those? See, I know you know people like that, but you need to now look around, you know, look at your own inward, and are you one of those? Are you unfaithful, unreliable, undependable, untrustworthy, shaky, unstable, disloyal, and irresponsible? Why do you think we have so many divorces in the body of Christ? Because right here, these are the attributes of an unfaithful husband or wife. And you know, it just, everything's on shaky ground, isn't it? God is observing the faithful in the land. He takes note of our faithfulness, our fidelity, allegiance, and devotion. See this. The Open Bible says faithfulness is making faith a living reality in one's life. The Open Bible says faithfulness is making faith a living reality in one's life. The Bible says in Proverbs 20, verse 6, most men will proclaim each his own goodness, but who can find a faithful man? Most men will proclaim each his own goodness, but who can find a faithful man? God can, because his eyes are on the faithful in the land. Remember, for years, God, I kept seeing these eyes, and I said, God, what is that? And he said, I'm searching throughout the land to find a man who is faithful. And he means men or women. And God is starting to find those faithful men and women. It might be on the streets, but he's finding them. And he's cleaning them up. And he's making them everything that he wants them to be. He's making them strong towers that others can run into. You know, whatever happens in your life is for a purpose. And God just didn't call you so you could be blessed. God called you so you could be blessed and then you could be a blessing to others. He called you to be a strong tower that others can run into, just like Jesus is your strong tower that you run into. See, this is a domino effect. It just keeps going down. And then after a bit, we have a whole lot of people that are serving God for the right reason and not the wrong reason. Jesus readily recognized the righteous remnant in 2 Chronicles 16:9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. In this you have done foolishly, therefore from now on you shall have wars. So what does God say? For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Why? To show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. So if you're loyal to heart, I mean to God, then he's going to show you that he's loyal to you. You're going to know he's loyal to you because sometimes you do foolish things, but God, yet everything turns out all right, and that's because God's been faithful. And he overlooks the mess. All right? And he said, you're just human beings. I'm going to pick you up, dust you off, and send you forth all over again. And I know that's happened to a lot of us in here this morning. Let's look at some Old Testament Semper Fi saints. Abraham is called faithful in Galatians 3:9. God found Moses to be faithful in all my house in Numbers 12:7. It was said of David in 1 Samuel 22:14, who among all your servants is as faithful as David? The prophet Elijah was faithful to God, even though he felt like he was the only one who was, and that's in 1 Kings 19:10-14. There has been faithful men and women to God from day one. Always there was faithful, or had to be, or we wouldn't be where we're at today. God has to have faithful people. You younger people, and I'm talking about 50s, 40s, 50s, 60s, you have to be faithful so you can lead the younger people that are coming into the house of God. And I'm hearing God say they're going to lean on you for understanding. And he wants to know, how strong are you? Are you really faithful to God? Are you really doing the things that God has called you for to do, so that when somebody comes in and they zone in on you, and it's God that makes them zone in on you, that you're a strong tower that they can lean on and they can trust you, and they know that, all right, if I have a problem, I can go to that person because they're trustworthy. Think about this. You're going to be tested and tried in these areas of your life because the enemy doesn't want you to be faithful. The enemy does not want you to be trustworthy. The enemy wants to turn you so that you cannot take any out of his kingdom. Are you listening? Do you know that you are going, how many souls you're going to? God told us one time, each one of you have 1 million souls assigned to you. So in here, if each one of us take 1 million souls out of hell, that's going to leave quite a void, isn't it? You say, how can I do that? You'd be surprised how you can do that. You'll stand in awe when you watch how God uses you to bring forth 1 million souls out of darkness into the light. Most of the prophets were also faithful to God in spite of fierce opposition, like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, and others. Most of the prophets. Now, you know that God is bringing forth prophets in this hour. Now, if God brings you forth as a prophet, you are going to be attacked. The enemy does not want you out there for God to use your voice to minister salvation to anybody. So if I would really wouldn't be crying out, God, make me a prophet, if not unless you're able to stand in the fight. Because you are going to be come against, just like Jesus was come against. He was a prophet. Are you listening? We all think it's great to be a prophet, but have you paid the price to be a real prophet? Have you paid the price to be able to stand under all the persecution? Have you been faithful to your post? In other words, only prophesy. The only thing you do is allow God to use your mouth. You don't say what you want to say. You just allow God to speak through you. All right? And this is important this morning. Because God now is looking for faithful people. There's a great works that needs to be done in the body of Christ. But now he's looking for faithful ones. He's done everything else to us he can. You know, tested us, tried us. He's done everything to us. Now he's looking to see, with everything you went through, have you been faithful? Have you been faithful? Even when you didn't understand what was going on in your life, have you been faithful to God? And even to yourself? Job was faithful to God even in terrible suffering. And you can read that in Job chapter 1, verse 21 and 22, and Job chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. His faithfulness reached its heights when he cried in Job 13:15, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. See, Job said, even if God kills me, I'll still trust in him. The faith chapter of the Bible is Hebrews chapter 1, lists many men and women who lived by faith and accomplished much for God through faith, though it cost some of them their very lives. That's going on overseas right now. I mean, people are being killed right and left because of their faith, but they're not giving up on God. Our faithful Lord in Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, and chapter 3, verse 14, and chapter 19, verse 11, Jesus is called the faithful witness, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, and the writer who is called faithful and true. You need to know right now, Satan is not faithful to those who follow him. He will turn on you at the drop of a hat, and he brings nothing good into your life. The only thing he brings is evil, destruction, misery every day of your life. In John 18:37, Jesus said the purpose of his coming to earth was to bear witness to the truth. That's what Jesus came to do, bear witness to the truth. Are you bearing witness to the truth? Or you think about that. Am I bearing witness to the truth of the gospel? Jesus was a faithful witness because he gave faithful testimony concerning all things which were to be testified by him in the world. A faithful witness because whatever he heard from the Father, he faithfully made known to his disciples. I thought it was awesome this morning that Sister Elaine wanted to blow the shofar for Mr. Kavanaugh. She was faithful to God. She heard God, and she followed what God wanted to do. I don't know if she heard God or felt impressed. Whatever it was godly. And she went ahead and did it, not knowing who was going to persecute her for it. Do you understand this? I don't think that ever entered in her mind that she might be persecuted for the fact that she wanted to blow a shofar for Kavanaugh, Mr. Kavanaugh. You'd be surprised what people persecute you for. All right, Jesus was a faithful witness because he taught the way of God in truth. Neither did he care for anyone or regard the person of men. In other words, he didn't care what you thought of him. He just spread forth the truth. If you're really, really a child of God, spreading forth the truth of God's word, you're going to be very, very unpopular. I mean, you know, you're just going to be unpopular. So we're not in this here for a popularity contest. We are in this to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus was a faithful witness because he announced condemnation to the reprobate and salvation to the elect. And everybody always says, well, don't preach condemnation. Jesus did. All right, Jesus was a faithful witness because he confirmed by miracles the truth which he taught in words. Are you performing miracles out there? Aren't you going to be excited to see what the miracles really do look like when they do start happening? We won't be able to stand Elaine and Mark when they come in here when the miracles really start happening. They'll want to take up the whole service with testimony time. Amen. All right, Jesus was a faithful witness because he denied not, even in death, the Father's testimony to himself. In other words, he didn't deny God in any way, shape, or form at any time. Jesus was a faithful witness because he will give testimony in the day of judgment concerning the works of the good and the evil. Jesus is also called faithful in 1 Thessalonians 5:24, 2 Thessalonians 3:3, and 2 Timothy 2:13. He is described as our merciful and faithful high priest in Hebrews 2:17. In the writings of Paul, two churches of Christ are called faithful. Ephesians 1:1 to the saints of Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, and Colossians 1:2 to the holy and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae. Notice that being in Christ is mentioned in both passages. Jesus taught that abiding in him, faithfulness, was necessary to productivity, which is fruitfulness. And you find that in John 15, verses 1 through 8. He is the vine, and we are the branches. I'll never forget when I was first born again, God kept giving me that scripture, that he was the vine and I was the branches. It took me a while for that to sink into my little pea brain, what he was trying to tell me, but it finally did sink in there. So Jesus is the vine and we are the branches. The church must stay connected to Christ, for he is the head of the body. I had to stay connected into that vine. If I cut myself on that vine, I was going to wither and die. So you have to stay connected to the vine or you're going to die. And who is the vine? Jesus. Paul and others turned the world upside down for Christ because one man was faithful unto death. Your faithfulness to Christ can positively affect others. Joe DiMaggio, the great Yankee Clipper, was once asked why he went all out when he played the game of baseball. And he replied, there is always some kid who may be seeing me for the first or last time. I owe him my best. Each one of you that are professing to be children of God, you owe the world your very best. And your very best is being faithful to God and not compromising. You don't say, well, I love Jesus, and then go cuss like a sailor. Well, I love Jesus, and you go do drugs. You see, I love Jesus, but I'm going to be perverted. Do you see what we're saying here? By the way, we're holding the Conqueror series every Monday, and I hear that Mark is doing an excellent job in teaching. So you men and women who want to know about perversion, how to get free from it, whether you're into it or somebody you know is into it, you ought to come out and listen to the teachings. This is the second set. They had set one and set two, and we're doing the second set right now. And that is what is prevalent in the body of Christ, is perversion to its utmost. So you aren't being, if you're perverted, you're not being faithful to God. So if you want to go around saying you're faithful to God and you're perverted, then you need to come to the Conqueror series and you need to learn how to get free from it. So then you are really faithful to God. Who brought perversion anyhow? It wasn't God, was it? It was the devil. That is what we owe. Where am I at? All right, Joe DiMaggio said that he owed people his very best. That is what we owe others. That is what we owe Christ. And that is why we should want to be a Semper Fi saint. Is faithfulness essential? Consider what Jesus said about faithfulness. When Jesus sent out the 12 apostles, he told them in Matthew 10:22, and you will be hated, you guys who think you should never have anybody come against you. Jesus said, you will be hated by all for my name's sake. They're hating you because you belong to Jesus. But he who endures to the end will be saved. So see, instead of you walking around being all upset because somebody doesn't like you because you say the name of Jesus, then you're not really being faithful to God. You should be proud that you are God's child and somebody is coming against you. The Christian's race is not over until we cross the finish line. In Matthew 24:45-46, Jesus said, who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. In Matthew 7:24-27, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. All right, I'm going to go back to Matthew 24:45, Nancy, and I want you to get this in your spirit. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. See, it's my job as God's servant to give you the food at the right time. And I know some of the things God has me teach on, I think, well, I've never even thought about that, but it's always at the right time. What we learned Wednesday night was at the right time about suffering. Today, faithfulness is at the right time because I'm hearing God say, you don't know what kind of persecution you're about to go under, and you're going to have to endure and be faithful to the end in order to conquer the kingdom of darkness. All right, now let's read this others here in Matthew 7:24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, this is Jesus speaking, and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams arose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. If your foundation is on the rock of Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter what comes against you, you will not fall. I didn't say you wouldn't crumble a little bit. I didn't say you wouldn't go into a corner and cry a little bit. I said you would not fall. Remember, I always tell you, my father used to always say to me, Jimmy, grab yourselves by the bootstraps, pull yourself up because nobody else is going to. He drilled that into me from a little kid. And, you know, I'm so glad he did because I have found out as I get older that nobody's going to help me up when I'm down. They're going to kick me when I'm down. So I have to pull my own self up. Are you listening here? You know, your husband, your wife, your kids, your pastor, nobody's going to pull you up. You're going to pull your own self up. All right? Verse 26, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. If you are not rooted and grounded in the rock, Jesus Christ, you're on sand and you're never going to make it because the enemy, but his tactics are getting worse and worse and worse and stronger than ever. Remember when we used to do deliverances, we called it deliverance, and then all of a sudden God had me call it exorcism. And I said, why are we calling it exorcism? He's because the bigger demons have now come down to destroy my people. You're not fighting some little tiny impish demon out there. You are fighting the very elect in hell. And they are trying to destroy you. Now, if you're not rooted and grounded in the solid rock, Jesus, then he's going to take you out. I hear God say he's going to buckle your knees from underneath you and you're going to fall. So this morning, you have to really search your own heart. I can't search your heart. You have to search your own heart and say, am I really faithful to my Jesus? Am I really being the strong tower that I'm called for to be? Do I compromise or do I not compromise? You're not supposed to compromise. But you have to ask yourself, if I'm around a certain group of people, do I act like they do? That's compromise. or do I stay steadfast and faithful in Christ? Are you listening here? See, too many people in the body of Christ, they compromise. You get in the midst of a bunch of drug addicts, you all of a sudden talk like they do and do what they do. If you get into a bunch of people that are alcoholics, you all of a sudden are drinking and drinking like they are. And see, and this is not the way you should, this is not the way you should be as a child of God. You should be steadfast. You should be you all the way through. You should be faithful to yourself and to God. God first and then to yourself. And don't allow the pressures of the world around about you cause you to change. I'm here to tell you at my age, you do not, the pressures of the world cannot make you change. You change because that you desire to. You can stay steadfast and you can stay sure to your calling from God and your love for God. You don't have to let anybody change you. You don't, except God. God is trying to change us, but are we allowing Him to change us? And sad to say, the world changes us more than God does. Yes, the world is bad, and yes, the pressures are bad, but Jesus is greater, is He not? If He's not, why are you serving Him? If He's not the great I Am in your heart, in your life, then why are you serving Him? You see, you have to sit down and talk to yourself. Ask yourself these questions. You need to find out, why am I really doing what I'm doing? Right? I'm doing what I'm doing because God called me to do it, and I do love the Father. And you know, He has led me through every day of my life. He's never let me be caught off guard. Are you being caught off guard by situations in life? Then somewhere along the line, you've lost your communication with God. And you need to get that communication back so that nothing can catch you off guard ever again. So according to these scriptures, we must be doers of the word, forever faithful, and that's what we're learning about today, or our spiritual house will be destroyed. Now you aren't here by chance today. You're here by divine appointment of God, whether you believe it or not, I'm telling you. And God has a plan and purpose for your life. And there are certain areas of your life that needs to be changed and transformed. And I believe it's faithfulness, and that's why you're here. I look around and I see some of you that haven't been here for a while. Eric, right? Eric, you have never been here, right? One other time. And see, there's a reason for everything in your life. And we think, oh, I just decided to do that. No, if you did decide to do it, it's because the Holy Spirit was prompting you to do what you're doing. So this morning, do you really want to finish your walk with God and win the race? Ask yourself that question first. Do you really want to finish the race? If you do, then your next question to yourself should be, am I faithful to my word? You know, God's word that you hold in your heart. Are you faithful to that? And then the next thing you need to ask yourself is, am I faithful to myself? And then you need to say, am I faithful to everybody around about me? And if you can answer yes to that, that is the most wonderful thing in the world, because some of us can say yes to all that. But if there's things that you can't answer yes to, then you need to say, God, I need the power to be more faithful today than I was yesterday. Then each day you just have to keep saying, God, just cause me to be more faithful. Now, I've had this on my desk for 2 months. Not this, but notes about it. And finally God said, this is the Sunday that I want to bring it forth. So something's going to be happening. It could be the great glory drop. It could be the great revival starting. If you're not found faithful, you're going to be left standing on the riverbank. Isn't that what God told us? When His glory does drop, if you haven't already submitted to everything God's called you to do, then you're going to be standing on the riverbank watching the others flow in the river, and you're going to be weeping and wailing, wishing you would have done what God called you to do. So God's telling me right now, this morning is transition time for some of you. You have to transition out of the old way of thinking, the old way of acting, and the old way of performing, and you need to get into His new wave. So the altar's open this morning for anybody who wants to get into the new that God is doing starting today. And He is calling, as you come up here, He's calling you to be faithful. And He's not only calling you to be faithful, He's going to give you a special anointing that you can stay faithful. Now, we always let God do his work first, and then the prophetic comes later. But I'm really encouraging each and every one of you to become faithful to God and to yourself, and then you'll be faithful to others around about you. I don't ever want you to come into the house of God and not receive something. You should always leave the house of God filled afresh and anew. The anointing was here in praise and worship to change you, and the anointing is still here to finish the works that he started during praise and worship. Come on, raise your hands and just receive. Raise your hands. See, raising your hands is surrender to God. Raise your hands and surrender him and say, God, I want to become more faithful today than I was yesterday. Faithfulness, the mark of a true Christian, faithfulness. A true child of God will be faithful no matter what's going on in their life.